Good morning, Anchor. We're so excited to be with you. And let's bow our heads one more time. Good morning, Father. We love you so much, and we are so overjoyed to be here in the company of one another in your presence, celebrating you and your risen Son. We love you so much, and we are coming before you today with expectant hearts. We are eager for you to reach down, touch us afresh. We pray that our identities would be found in you, that our actions would flow from your love, that as we are crucified to ourselves, that your Son would live through us. And so we pray that every day we are made more and more like you, and that your love flows through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read a scripture that has very much stuck out to me lately. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen. It's from Philippians chapter 2. Starting in 7, Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every single knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been talking with someone about Jesus Christ and they look back at you with that blank stare? Not a stare of rejection or a stare of apathy, a blank stare of having never heard of Jesus Christ. This is something that we come across very often in Japan, as Japan is a nation of 130 million people and less than 0.03% are confessing Christians. And so very frequently we will be talking and say something about Jesus and someone will return and say, oh, yasu wa anata no tomodachi desu ka? Is Jesus a friend of yours? Or they will look at us and say, oh, yasu wa Okinawa kimasen ka? Jesus isn't from Okinawa, is he? They're thinking of a man that we're talking about. They don't have the comprehension of Jesus Christ as Kami-sama, as God. And so we don't have the same luxury as we do in America when we say, oh, hey, Jesus loves you, or God bless you. And even if you don't agree with it, you understand what we're communicating. In Japan, you have to have multiple touches. And we've heard it said before that many people, before they ever come to a church, before they ever respond to the gospel, they have heard it about 7 times. And so as you can imagine, when most people have never heard of the name of Jesus, there is a lot of sowing. There is a lot of planting. And if you were to talk to a farmer, I'm sure that they would tell you, yes, when you get that seed in your hand, it's not instantly sprouted. It takes time, and that time is fueled with perseverance and love and a conviction that the scripture is true. And so when we left our home in December 2011 to come and be missionaries in Okinawa, Japan, we were fueled by the conviction that God's word is real. It is real, and it is relevant to every single person. It matters. And the love that God wants every single person to know, we want to bring that. And so even when it is a time-consuming process, I want to share with you just the confidence that you can have in Christ, that even the people who you have been praying for, the people who you have purposed to love on, it might not happen in your timing, but in God's timing, his word never returns void. And we have seen little seeds that have been planted blossom into just amazing, miraculous works. And it is so heartwarming, filled with tears of joy. And I want to share with you a testimony of this experience lived out. Micah and I, when we first moved over to Okinawa, we had no idea exactly what missionary life was going to look like for us. We knew that we would be evangelizing, of course, but we didn't know that we would have the opportunity to teach weekly chapels at an Okinawan Christian school. And so we started a year ago September, and we continued on throughout the entire school year, and there were times where we would just pray and ask God, is anything sinking in? Are they getting it? Because we would preach with passion. We would have so much fire, and we would just see meek little Japanese expressions looking back at us, and we wouldn't know, is anything resonating with them? Is anything sinking in? And it was at the culmination of the school year where we were invited to speak as the guest speakers and as counselors at their junior high and high school end of the year camp. And it was there that as we were speaking, we were seeing God moving. We were getting to talk one-on-one with them outside of a school scenario. And we were starting to see that the seeds that we had been planting throughout the school year were starting to bloom. And it was at that time that God put it on my heart that because we were at this camp right on a beach, that the kids who had put their faith in Jesus Christ, it was time to make that public declaration of their faith by being baptized. Now, the only problem was, as soon as we arrived at the camp, it was thundering, there was lightning crashing all around, it started gushing rain the moment that we got there, and there were actually tornado warnings, which we have never even heard of happening in Okinawa before. And so I talked with Micah, my husband, about it, and we talked with the director of the camp, and he also informed us, well, you know, that's a great idea aside from the weather, but then also the tide is so extreme that there is only a very short window where it's safe to be out in the water because the water will rush in and out, and most of the students don't know how to swim, and there are drownings that occur there. And so we knew that we were working with a very small window of time, and as it approached, the lightning was still crashing, it was still thundering, it just looked horrible outside. But students were starting to get excited because they had decided that they wanted to commit and show the world and proclaim, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And so 4 o'clock came. That was the time where, oh, we're ready for the baptisms, but the weather did not quite agree. It had been raining for over 2 days straight, and that's when Micah came up, and he opened the door, and we all were, you know, crowded behind him looking outside, and in front of all of the students, he lifted up both of his hands, and he prayed, and he asked God to stop the thunder, stop the lightning, stop the rain, and within 30 seconds, it had all stopped, and we were parading down to the beach to do the baptisms. Together, we got to baptize 8 students in the East China Sea as they proclaimed in front of their classmates that they were professing their faith in Jesus Christ. And as soon as we got back to the building, it started dumping rain again. And they all knew this is because of Jesus. By the end of the camp, every single student had confessed and given their life to Jesus. And as we were leaving, and there was excitement and there was passion like I had never seen unleashed in this group of students before, I took a group of girls and we were going down to sort through the trash. Japan is very particular. No aluminum with the raw food, no paper with the recyclables, everything separate. And so we were the ones who were organizing it all. And as we were organizing, we saw an elderly woman who was walking with a cane along the sidewalk outside the perimeter of the camp. And we looked at her, and I said, has anyone seen her or talked with her yet this week? And the students all said no. You see, that woman was very special to me because 3 weeks before, my husband and I had been at that property, and we had seen her. And we knew that we could not share the complete, full gospel enough in Japanese to be assured that if she were to pray with us, that she would be putting her faith in Jesus. And so we prayed for her 3 weeks ago that God would send someone to talk with her in Japanese in her native tongue about the gospel. And now here I was with 7 little girls who all spoke Japanese as their native language. And so we took off and we went up and we introduced ourselves, and she turned around and was so delighted to speak with us. And we started to tell her about our camp experience and what we were doing there. She told us, "Oh no, I'm not a Christian." But then she told us, "But I do pray every day, and I have a Bible, and I read it every day." And we thought, "Well, what's holding you back from becoming a Christian?" And she went on to share that her husband was sick, and on Sundays, she had to take care of him at home. And so she could never go to a church. That wasn't an option for her. And the one church that was nearby was far, far, far away. And so if she couldn't go to a church, how could she be a Christian? And so imagine her joy as with the translating abilities of 7 excited junior high and high school students, we shared with her that even if she never made it to another church again as long as she lived, she could have full assurance of her faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that she is saved. And we talked about the omnipresence of God. We talked about the overriding love of God. We talked about the grace of God. And as we did, a woman who is maybe one of the most elderly people I have ever spoken with in my life started to cry. And as she was crying, we started to cry. And we prayed with her. And she was joyously exclaiming that she knows that she is saved and her faith is in Jesus Christ. And as we were walking away, the youngest of the girls came up to me and she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Can we do that again?" And I said, "Oh, do what again?" And she said, "Can we go tell more people about Jesus?" Later that day, every single one of them plugged into social media and were telling everyone about the amazing life in Jesus. And this is a life that they are embracing that is also full of persecution, because it is very difficult to be a Christian in Japan, where ancestor worship is predominant. And if you deny ancestor worship, you are denying taking care of your family in their afterlives. And so to put your faith in Jesus is a very big deal. We were blown away by these little, little kids who just had hearts overflowing with love for Jesus. We were so, so encouraged. And that is just one of the many stories that we have to share, and that I know Micah will come up and share more right now. Thank you very much for your amazing support and for showering baby Ava with love too at the baby shower.
Good morning. Did you guys see that belly on her? That belly is not from Japanese white rice. That belly, there's a baby growing in there. You guys excited? I'm excited about that. While we were worshiping, you guys were spirit-filled worship, and I had my hand on that little baby. Her name's Ava Lee. She's coming to this world in about 2.5 months, and I had my hand on her, and she did a double kick and a punch, and then a headbutt. That means she's excited. So is anybody else in here excited about God today? That's good. We've got 4 people who are excited about God. I'm encouraged, and God's a God of multiplication. I believe there'll be 8 people by the time we're done here. So I was talking to Rick, and he said, these people, they've got nothing to do today. You just preach all day long. So I'm excited. And we're in this gym. And you know what happens in the gym? People win, and people celebrate. And now, since we're in Christ, guess what? We have won. And we get to proclaim victory today. So if you guys don't mind, just stand up with me real quick while we proclaim victory. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to start off as we always start off. That's with a high five. None of this homie handshake stuff, because that changes from coast to coast and you could get things wrong and you end up smacking somebody in the head. If you go with a high five, you just keep it real simple. And it's old fashioned, and we're going to bring it back. The people in Japan, they love giving high fives. So join me while we pray, and then we'll high five 3 people. So Father, we thank you. God, I thank you that we're even in this gym today, that we get to come together. And Father, we want to do one thing, and that's bring you glory. We want to bring you glory. We want you to be famous in here. And God, we thank you that you saved us. It's such a blessing to be in the presence of other believers, people who love you, people who are committed to you. And God, we thank you. We don't take this lightly. And God, we want to celebrate today. So we celebrate you. We celebrate victory in you. We celebrate everything you've done in our lives and everything that you're doing. And God, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. three people, give them a high five, and just tell them you're glad they're here today. Come up here. They got me on a leash. I'm glad you're here today. Boom. And you may be seated. I was going to go back there and give you guys some high fives. They have me on a leash today, so I can't run very far. Look at this. I'm like 3 feet, and that's it. The last sermon I preached, they had a little tachometer on me. I ran 2.5 miles, so I'm not sure how this is going to work. Oh, thank you. Wow. Okay, now you guys are in trouble. What I want to talk to you guys about is what Jesus is doing in Japan. And you guys are family. You know you're family with us? We're family with you. You guys are kind of looking at me like you don't know me. Maybe I'm that like uncle that just shows up to all the big dinners and he just won't leave, and that's me. But I'm here and we are family. You guys are on the mission field with us and we thank you. You guys support us. You guys pray for us. You financially support us. And we come back here and we get to fellowship with you guys. And I tell you what, we don't take it lightly. We appreciate every single one of you. And your pastor, that man of God that he is. If you ever want your mind blown, take him out to lunch and ask him for a grace bomb. Just a grace bomb. He explained the difference between law and grace to me about 2 years ago. My head is still spinning and my heart has swollen. He has so much biblical wisdom and I love asking him good questions. He's awesome. We can give it up for Rick. So today we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. It's power, it's love, and it's a sound mind. And it's all from God. So I got nothing for you. I hope Jesus has something great for you, because everything we get that's good is from God. And he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. If you have a Bible, you can look at it. If you don't, you can just look at your sermon notes. If you have one of those new Bibles, make sure that you scribble and mark and highlight this. If you have one of those Bibles that you can't mark in it, give that one away and make sure you get one that you can mark up, because this is an important verse and you want to mark this down. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's think about fear. I have fear all the time. Has anyone in here experienced fear their lifetime? Okay, just a couple people. How about just this last week, has anybody experienced any fear? We have fears that happen in our minds all the time. But what is fear and where does it come from? Fear. There's an acronym for it. It's false evidence appearing real. It's false evidence appearing real. I think about the fear that has prevented me from doing things in my life. And right before we went on the mission field, I had so much fear. Fear. I was consumed with fear for 3 months while I was debating this decision. How's this going to work out? What if I went? How would we survive financially? How would we survive physically? Where would we live? I don't think my wife wants to live under a bridge. What are we going to do when we get there? Who will we fellowship with? Where are we going to stay? How will I get from place to place? And now, if I knew what I know today, I would not fear what I feared yesterday. Now I have so much more faith, and I see God as He's amazing. He's in Japan. He's here. He's working all around us all the time. And now what has He done when we get there? He sends a pastor to the airport to pick us up. Well, that took care of that fear. Then he provides us a car. Somebody just gave us a car, so now we can drive. He provided a place. He provided us finances through you guys, as you support us. And now we're surviving, and I have so much more faith, and all my fear is dwindling. But every time that fear comes upon us, you know what it is? It's not only false evidence appearing real, but fear is also an opportunity. Fear is an opportunity. You can write that down. And if you guys, you probably heard this before, but they've done the studies around the world. And if you take notes while I'm preaching, you are highly more likely to go to heaven. So make sure you write notes and make good ones. This is a collaboration effort. You can look in your neighbors, and I don't care if you cheat a little bit. Just get the right answer. It's an opportunity. Every single time that you fear, it's an opportunity for you to exercise faith. So you could think of it like this. The next time you fear, which you might fear later, even today, you might fear tomorrow, you might fear any time. And when you do, just think of your mind like you have just arrived to a spiritual 24-hour fitness gym, and you have an opportunity to work out and you can get buff. Does anyone want to get buff? I want to be buff like Jack. Jack, you are buff in the faith, and I am encouraged by you every single time I talk to you. You guys are ever down, you call up Jack, he'll pray for you. We had a great prayer out on the sidewalk the other night, and I appreciate that, Jack. False evidence appearing real. Fear is an opportunity for you to exercise faith, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? That's right. What did you say? You can say it powerfully. Wow, we almost got there. Everyone in the back too, come on. Power. God has given us a spirit of power. Isn't that amazing? God is powerful. So even when I'm weak, God is strong. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There is power. You see, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And what were they doing? They were waiting. They were expecting. They were asking. They were praying. God's power is available through you, to you through prayer. God's power, it's available to you through prayer. And at Saturday Night Lights, as some of you know, that's our ministry. And on Saturday, we gather the saints. And we just invite people that we met through the week out evangelizing. We invite young adults from the church, from the coffee houses, from anywhere that we would meet people. And we started arriving early, about half hour early, and just said, hey, anyone wants to show up early, we're going to get together and pray. And we just started praying for the nations. We started praying for people. We started praying for individual needs, and we started seeing God answer our prayers one after another. We have a little lady. She's a young adult, at least young at heart. She's in her late 60s, and that's young adult for me. And she has come to our ministry, and she just loves it. And she came, and you could see the fear on her face. And she came up to Alicia and I after Saturday Night Lights, and she said, hey, would you pray for me? And I look at her, and I know something's going on. And I just look at her and say, yeah, how can we pray for you? And she said, I've been diagnosed with glaucoma. And within a few months' time, the doctor predicts I'm going to be totally blind and I'm not going to be able to see. And I have so much fear, and will you just pray for me? And she's a little Okinawan lady. She speaks really good English. And the first thing that I thought, the very first thing that I thought was, of course, we should pray for her. But then I thought, what if it doesn't work? This fear came upon me. And sometimes that fear, it just tries to paralyze us. So we won't actually step out in faith. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that. And then I had a better thought. And my better thought was, what if it does work? What if God just heals her? And this is a testimony that goes forth throughout all of Japan. And she can go proclaim what he has done. And even if he doesn't, I know he's good and he's doing a good work. So let's pray. And I said a simple prayer. I've never seen any complicated prayers in the Bible. You just keep it simple. I ask God to heal her through the same Holy Spirit that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. And we just prayed for her, and we believed that he was going to heal her. Well, she comes about a week and a half later, and she, this little lady who's so meek, she is skipping. And I have never seen her skip before, but she came in skipping and she was hopping. And she says, I gotta tell you something. I was like, tell us, what happened? She said, I am healed. The doctors say this is a medical miracle. He's never seen anything like it. There is no glaucoma, no trace of it, no sign of it. I'm totally healed. And I'm telling you, we can give a hand clap for that. That's Jesus working in Japan. Jesus is working in Japan. God is powerful. His power is available to us through prayer. We can align ourselves with God's power through prayer. God's powerful. So when I'm not powerful, it's okay because He is. I don't have to be strong. He is. I just have to be in Him. There's another guy we met out witnessing. I'll call him, I changed his name for his privacy. I call him Private Ryan. Private Ryan. And this is one of those nights where I was going out witnessing and things weren't looking too good for me. It started raining. And that's what happens in Okinawa, Japan. We're in Typhoon Alley, so the typhoons and the storms just come right through there relentlessly. And what happens when it rains is everyone gets soaked and they go inside. And the problem with that is it leaves me outside standing by myself with no one to talk to. So I was having one of those nights, and I was just like, if I could find somebody to talk to, there's no one out in American Village. That's my favorite place to go witnessing. It's called Mihama Village. And all the Americans, the Japanese, they all go out there, lots of bars, restaurants. We don't go in the bars, but we hang out outside of the bars, and we talk to people. And I saw these four soldiers, and they were standing there just outside of the cab line. And I looked at them, and I said, okay, these people are probably getting ready to leave. They don't want to talk to me. I'm going in. Here we go, God, and I need your power right now. I need your presence, and I need your help. And I went in, and I just said, hey, guys, are you Marines? And they said, yeah. I said, that's awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate your service. I want to thank you for serving our country. And they looked at me kind of funny, and they're like, okay. I was like, all right, I think the conversation's going good. I got the head tilt from one of them, got the squint from a couple others. Okay, well, you know, there's a group from our church, and we're always praying for you guys. And by the way, have you guys found a good church since you've been here? Well, that didn't go very good either. The guy looked at me, and he's like, church? Well, we don't go to church, man. I was like, well, do you have any spiritual beliefs? He's like, I don't want to talk about this. We're not here to talk about this. We're going out to the bar. And then the other guy said, oh, man, let's bounce. He said, let's bounce. And that's exactly what they did. Three of them, I had the most awkward conversation. It didn't go well at all. And three of the four, they bounced like a ball down a steep hill. They just, boom, they were gone. And I was just kind of feeling awkward and kind of soaked in the rain and like, that's a bummer, you know? I wanted to talk to somebody about the love of Jesus that's working in me, that sent me out here, and no one will listen to me. And then I look over and there's this guy who was just kind of awkwardly quiet during our whole conversation. He didn't say anything, so I look at him and I said, well, what do you think about Jesus Christ and spiritual things? And he looks at me and he says, well, I just moved here from North Carolina about 3 days ago, and I've been looking for a church, and I've been looking online, and there's so many, I don't know where to go, and there's this church or that church, or I don't know which church speaks English, and I don't know where to go. I said, well, I know where the church is. You can come to church with us. It's Saturday night. You want to go to church tomorrow morning? He said, yeah, I do. I said, I will pick you up, or one of my friends will. Boom, got his number. Next thing you know, this brother comes to our ministry. He comes to our church. He comes to every event that we have. We have a soccer outreach ministry, and he's invited four or five other people that come with him, and now they're coming to the church. And I was just thinking, how cool is that, that God's power is even at work when you blow it? Well, you don't blow it, but I blow it. I blow it, and God's power is still at work. I want to read something to you, because then I got an email or a Facebook message from, this is from Private Ryan's brother. I'll just read part of it. He sent me a really long one. He says, hi, Micah, I'm Private Ryan's brother. You don't know how much it means to me that you invited my brother to church. It's a God story, and I still can't get over it. The day before his flight to Japan, my wife and I were trying to find a church in the area to get him plugged into. Our first thought was to see if there was a Calvary Chapel in the area, because we had been involved in a few over the Gulf Coast. When I came across Calvary Chapel Okinawa, I was excited, and I told Private Ryan and sent him to the website. I wanted to get somebody to contact him because, as you know, Private Ryan is a very shy guy. Then Private Ryan sends me a text and he says, let's Skype. He proceeds to tell me his story about you walking up to him and being from Calvary Chapel, Okinawa. And he's excited. My brother, Private Ryan, is excited. That's a big deal. Well, you know the rest of the story, but I had to send you this and let you know that God was involved in this story. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. So thank you. You are a blessing. I'm a blessing. I blew it. God's a blessing. Are you kidding me? Isn't that amazing? When God's power is for you, nobody can be against you. You can go up and have a conversation and it might not go well, and God is still working. He's still using it. Doesn't that make you excited? You can go talk to somebody today. It doesn't have to go exactly the way you planned, and God can still use it. God's power is available to you through prayer. I want to read a couple verses to you. This first one shocked me, okay? So I hope it shocks you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now things are getting a little crazy in here. Are you suggesting that I'm saying that you should be violent? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. Jesus is saying be violent. Now let's see what kind of violence he's talking about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. We're going to find out the violence that he's talking about. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. So I want you to just take the snippet, the first two lines of those verses. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. We don't wrestle flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So what's God saying? We're not fighting people. It's not flesh and blood. People aren't the problem. Who's the problem? The devil. That's right. Who said that? Somebody said it. Must have been one of the people in the back. The devil is the problem, and so often we're fighting the wrong problem, and we're fighting the people, and we come and align ourselves against other people, where the problem is the devil. And God has given us power to overcome that. And what's that power come through? What'd you say? Now, you don't have to whisper. You can shout it out. This is a gymnasium. Prayer. It is prayer is how we will become aligned with God's power. So think about this. Everybody's talking about this guns and ammo, and I'm all for guns and ammo. If you have some, you should take me out ski shooting, because I think that's what guns and ammo are good for. But if you want to fight the devil, your guns and ammo are not going to help you, but your prayers will. Think about how powerful it would be if you were locked and loaded with prayer throughout the day, throughout the week. What if you started your day tomorrow before you even left the house? You got on your knees and you just started praying. What if you just started praying for your family members? And then you started praying for those people that you really love. And then you guys started praying for the people who you really can't stand. And what would happen if you did that? Maybe God changes our hearts, allow us to connect with them and share the love of Christ. It is the power through prayer. God is saying He wants us to be violent, violent with the devil. And He wants us to fight him. And the way that we'll fight him is through prayer. I want to invite you guys to pray. And I thank you for your prayers, because we know you're praying for us. And we appreciate that so much. It is necessary. It gets me up in the morning. I know it has given me power when I wanted to quit. And I thank you for your prayers. And I want to invite you to pray all the time. But to start your day in prayer. What if you just started every day in 5 minutes on your knees in prayer? And you just said, God, I want to have your heart today. So God, will you change my heart? I want to line myself up with your power. I want to be available to do what you want to do. I'm available, God. That happens through prayer first thing in the morning. And from that intimate place with the Father, then you can carry that prayer throughout the day. Does that sound exciting? I'm talking locked and loaded. We get to put two ammos in the barrel and we're prayer warriors. Okay, we got two people excited about prayer warriors. It's okay, we can be prayer warriors. It's going to be exciting. We can pray for each other. We can pray for the people around us. We can pray for the people we love. We can pray for the people we hate. And hopefully God will change our heart through all that. God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and of, yes, of what?
Love.
Of what?
Love.
That's right, of love. Of power and of love and of a sound mind. So love, let's take a quick look at love. Love. Love is best experienced by living it out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. One of the first two commandments. They're to love. Love God and love your neighbor. I kind of felt like while I'm walking around here in the United States, I can talk to anybody. I just like that. And I could walk right up to some person and strike up a conversation. I know that we're probably, most likely, well, depends where you're at, but often I'm going to speak English with them. And I think that's really, it's easy. It's nice, you know, because you can go up and you can build rapport by talking the same language. But in Japan, it's a little bit different. And all of my tools and tactics and great tips that I had for evangelism, they just don't work over there. And I have tried and I have failed and I have tried again and I have failed. But I found something that does work. It's love. Love works. And love is not this great feeling. It's way more than that. Love is an action. And it's lived out. And people, regardless of the language they speak, they respond to love. And it's just amazing that you can go in with the love of Christ and somebody will respond to that. You can say, God, will you love somebody through me today? Will you love this unlovable person through me today? God, will you just shower me with your love so I can show it to somebody else? I want to know God's love and I want to show God's love. And the best way to know it is to show it. You guys get to experience that now. We have two newlyweds in the house tonight, right here. I mean today, not tonight, right here, right here. You guys can raise your hands in the air. They have joined their lives together. I was at their beautiful wedding and it was love. We saw the love of Christ revealed in between two people who put Jesus Christ first. And this is what we get to tell people in Japan about. Jesus is for you. And if you get to know his love, it's just impossible not to show it. You're going to show it to somebody. Love, here's an acronym for it. L is lifting others. The L is lifting. We want to be lifting. We want to be encouraging to other people. So many conversations, so many people, they're always tearing other people down, pointing out all the problematic areas of their life. All the things that aren't working right, all the things that aren't good, just nagging, nagging. How about you point out something that is working good? How about we point out something that's good and we just lift and encourage other people? What if you were known around the way like Jack as a man who will always encourage you? That's exciting. You want to talk to somebody like that. So the L is lifting. The O is observing. You want to observe opportunities. Every single conversation that you get into is not going to be a witnessing opportunity, but many are. So you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and observe those opportunities and take them. The V is you want to value people. The way that you'll value them is spend some time with them. Time and money. Time always trumps money, but money's also nice. So if you want to love on me, go ahead and take me out to lunch and I will love you back. But you think about it, when you're talking to somebody, and have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they just talked your ear off and they just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked, and at the end of the conversation they said, it was really good talking with you. No, it wasn't. It was really good for you, but not for me. When you value somebody, you're going to listen to them. You want to ask a good question and draw something out of them. Listen to them. That's what I love about my sister-in-law, Christina. She is great at asking good questions and drawing things out of people. She can talk to an absolute stranger, draw something out of them, and talk to them for a long time. You want to value them with time and with money. E is you want to engage in spiritual conversations. This is where the boldness takes place. You have to have boldness to engage in spiritual conversations. There's so many opportunities to back down from that. And the fear comes upon me. What are they going to think? How's this going to go? What if I blow it? What if they reject me? If you ever have any of those thoughts, I want you to know I have them run through my head all of the time. And no weapon formed against us can prosper. God is all powerful. So we just don't have to be powerful. God is famous. I don't have to be famous. I know Jesus. He's famous. He's powerful. All I have to do is stay in Him. And I don't have to have all of these fears. But you want to engage in those spiritual conversations. You want to look for those opportunities. While I was going to the hospital quite a bit, because Alicia is quite pregnant, as you can see, and we got to spend quite a bit of time in the hospital, and I got to meet quite a few people within the hospital. And one time we had simultaneous appointments. I had a 35-year-old checkup. No, I'm not getting old, but I'm getting strong like Jack. And I had a 35-year-old checkup. That's what they do in Japan. And you have to go, and they poke you and prod you and check your nose and eyes, and they put a tube up my nose. It was really uncomfortable. But in the course of this day, I got to visit with six different nurses. So I prayed beforehand that God would give me the opportunity to share with them. Well, I got to share the gospel with three of them, and two of them didn't speak that good of English, and another one, the conversation just didn't go well at all. But that's all right. You just take what you can get. And then at the end, we were checking out, and Alicia came. She was done, and I was done, and we're sitting there, and I got to share the gospel with the gal who's checking us out. And she's just doing the paperwork, and got to share the gospel with her. Got to give her something to think about. I gave her a Bible verse, and I said, just think about this, and next time we're here, we'll stop by, and we'll talk to you about it. Well, as we're talking, she has another question. I answer her question, and another nurse hears us talking about Jesus. So she just looks at me, and then she walks over and she joins in on the conversation. She has a couple questions. As we're talking with these two, another nurse sees our conversation and she comes over and joins our conversation. And as we're talking to these three girls about the love of Jesus Christ and how He brought us over there, there's the manager of the place. He's in the back, and he looked at me. And you know when somebody looks at you, and then it's like they got a whiff of something really stinky? He's like, and I said, Jesus, and he made that stink face, and he's, and I was thinking, maybe he's going to come over here and join our conversation and get saved too, so I got excited, and I'm like, so I waved him on, he waved me off. And then he called the three girls over and starts talking to them very briefly in Japanese. And I'm not sure what they were talking about. And then the girl came back over and she said, you have to leave. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, my boss says, you have to go now. I'm like, I'm getting kicked out of the hospital? Hold on, this is a place for healing. I'm preaching Jesus and we got kicked out of the hospital. Got kicked out of the hospital, but before we left, I told her to find my wife on Facebook. She did just that. That very night, they're texting back and forth on Facebook. I mean, she must have wrote a novel on that thing. Tell her whole story and everything else. This girl is pouring out her heart to Alicia. Alicia gets to share Jesus with her. Before we left, three of those girls came to church for the very first time ever. One of them just sent me another Facebook message and asked which book of the Bible she should read next. And when we get back, we're going to have them all over for dinner. And we're inviting the stink face man. They're like, listen, God's a God of second chances. You're invited. He gave me a second chance, and he'll give stink faces a second chance too. Got to meet another man. He's a very famous man in Okinawa. He is a drifter. Do you know what drifting is? It's something really cool if you have a fast car, and what you do is you go really fast and then you push on the gas and you pull up the e-brake at the same time. If I could borrow one of your cars later, I've been wanting to try this out, but he slides around the corner. Well, he's a sponsored professional driver, drifter. He's got more stickers than you've ever seen possible fit on one car. They're all his sponsors. He gets paid to do this. So in Japan, all over the world, drifting, it's a pretty big deal. But in Japan specifically, it's a really big deal. And I got to meet him, and I just got to talk to him. He came to church through a friend of a friend, and I got to talk to him just for a brief moment. Found out a little bit about him. I was trying to draw some information out of him. He likes to play basketball. And I said, well, I'm a white man who can't jump, but I got a little bit of game, so let's go play basketball. And he said, okay, so the next week we're planning on going to play basketball. So I grabbed my basketball, and I'm walking to the park. We live right on the park, so it's perfect. I always go there to the courts to witness to people. And we're walking up to the basketball court, and before we got there, there's a little pavilion, and we stopped there, and we just started talking. And I just asked him one simple question. I said, God's stirring your heart. What do you feel like God is speaking to you right now? And we sat down in this little pavilion, and we sat there. And for 3.5 hours, we never even made it to the basketball court. This man just poured out his heart, told me his whole story, and then told me how he feels God is drawing him right now. And I said, yes, that is the same Jesus that drew me all the way to Japan, and I don't even speak the language. He's drawing you. Well, this man spent some time going to college in the United States, so he speaks perfect English, and we're having a great conversation. And I just asked him, I said, is there anything that's holding you back right now from committing your life to Jesus Christ? He said, no. I said, well, I am going to pray for you. And after I'm done praying, you just pray. Because you don't have to repeat my prayer. You just pray to the living God, and there's no separation. Now you have direct access directly to God. You can understand his scriptures. You can know his mind. You can pray directly to him. And I prayed for this man, just a simple prayer again. And I said, amen. And I said, now you pray. And he started praying kind of slowly. And then he started gaining some momentum. And then he started repenting and confessing his sin before God. And I could hear the reverence in this man's voice. Like, this man was standing face to face with Jesus Christ, and I got to be a witness of it. And at the end, I thought, wow, that was so powerful. And I'm getting ready to just close our prayer, and I just hear, wait. So I waited, and I waited. And now two men on a bench, it's a little awkward now. I'm like, how long are we going to wait? And I waited another second, and I was getting ready to speak, and then he picked it up again. He was just going on an intermission, and he started praying, and this time he started praying with tears, and he really poured out his heart. But that was another whole, like, 5-10 minutes he continued. I lost track of time. We were both crying at the end of his prayer. The Holy Spirit, we felt so powerfully, and I just see God is working. God is moving in this man's heart, and he is now a Christian. He has now committed his life to Christ, and he now comes to church, and he reads his Bible, and guess what else he does? He prays. He encounters the power of God, aligns his heart with God through prayer every single day. And now we get to love on people and just share the love of Christ. It's the most exciting topic that you could talk about. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. How are we going to get a sound mind? Two ways. Very simple ways. First one is to meditate on God's Word. You want to meditate on God's Word. The second way that you'll have a sound mind is by talking to yourself. I know that's relieving. Because many of you talk to yourself already. And now you can turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it's okay. Talk to yourself. It's actually biblical. What? Yeah, it's biblical, not schizophrenic. It's biblical to talk to yourself. Many of you are just listening to yourself, and that's what I have a problem with. I'm listening to all those voices and all those things and all those fears that come in my head every single day, and they're always flooding through my mind. And I start listening to those things, and I start believing those things. And rather than listen to yourself, I want to encourage you to talk to yourself. What do you think Jesus did when he went up on the mountain? He was praying, right? Who is he praying to? He was praying to God. And I don't still understand how all this works, but three persons in one God, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus was actually praying to God and he is God, that means he was talking to himself. And it's okay for you to talk to yourself. And the best thing that you can talk to yourself is you can preach yourself the Word of God. And that will only happen after you meditate upon the Scripture. I had this period of time, maybe it was about 2 to 3 weeks, where I just felt so depressed, so oppressed, where I just felt like there was a just spiritual darkness all around me, and I wanted to quit. I actually looked at one-way tickets back home, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this mission field. And I started believing and listening to myself, and my head was filled with doubts and fears and all of these things. And then there were a couple things that happened. One, Alicia preached some of the best sermons I've ever heard preached in my entire life to an audience of one. And it was me. I repented on the spot, cut a check to her ministry. I said, I am in. I want a piece of that. And the second thing I did was I started meditating on Scripture. I just started meditating on Scripture, and then I would get in the shower and I would preach to myself. And that's kind of talking to yourself, but you're preaching, so it's okay. But you talk yourself back into the Scriptures, and you don't have to listen to all those things that are floating through your mind, those fears, those doubts, those concerns, and you just start talking to yourself and tell yourself the Word of God. I want to read two Scriptures, and then I'm going to close here. And I'm going to close with a slight, small demonstration with some water. This is Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It says, meditate day and night. It says, meditate day and night in both of the verses. We got to meditate day and night. If you want a sound mind, you want to meditate day and night. Then you want to start talking to yourself. And could you help me? Toby, thank you. Okay, I'm going to show you just a quick demonstration of what will happen in a short amount of time if you will simply meditate. That's holy water. I blessed it. So if a little bit of the it spills on the floor, don't worry about it, okay? So here. I'll allow you to hold that, if you would, just right over this. And this pepper that I have right here, this is not holy pepper. This pepper represents the devil. Okay, this is devil pepper. That's what it says. See? Devil pepper. And this pepper is all those doubts, those fears, those things that keep floating through your mind where you think, I can't share my faith to my friend. What are they? They're going to reject me. Oh, I'm going to be cut off from this group. Oh, I just can't do that. But God is for you. So here's what happens. Let's pour a little bit of water into this cup. This is just for spillage, so I thought, you know, we'll probably make a mess. Okay. Keep going. Oh, yeah. Our cup is overflowing. Keep going. That's good. Okay, let me taste. Ooh, you guys got to get some holy water today. Mmm, that is good stuff. Okay, so the pepper, will you hold that up? Okay, can anyone see? Can anyone at all see this? Well, just go home and try this. You can use any pepper. It doesn't have to be devil pepper. Okay, so the pepper, these are all those doubts that are floating, the fears that are floating through your mind just later on today. Okay, ooh. You guys got way more fear than that. It's okay. Oh, look at that. Now, your mind is cloudy. Look at this. This is not looking good. Now I need somebody else to come up and pour this water straight on the top of that. Do you mind doing that? Thank you. Okay. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You can stop now. Okay, hold that glass up. That was after 3 seconds of meditation. Okay, let me see. Still a little bit of pepper in there. I recommend you guys meditate for more than 3 seconds, but here's what's going to happen. Thank you guys very much. You can sit down. If you will go home and just meditate every single day, here's what happens. It's not the Eastern occult kind of meditation which they're trying to empty their mind. I don't know why anyone would sign up for that program. Want to empty my mind? No, I want to fill my mind. I want to fill my mind with the power of God's word. So I take one word, one scripture, and I think about it for a long time. Something short, think about it for a long time. And what's going to happen is it's going to fill my mind. And just as you saw the impurities, they get pushed out. There's no room for them. There's no room in your mind for the impurities to stay, for the fears, they're gone. The doubts, they're dismissed. There's no room for them. So if you just meditate on God's word, what will happen to your mind? The worship team's going to come back up, and we're going to close out in prayer. And I want to thank you guys again. Because every time we get to come back here, it's like I feel like I am coming back home to my home church, my home family. Even though I've only known you guys for a few years, it's you guys are family to me. And you bless Alicia and I so much. Your prayers, I can't tell you how much we thank you for those. And I ask that you continue to partner with us in prayer. And we'll just see what God wants to do. We have a baby on the way. That baby was made in Japan. And we're going to take that baby back to Japan and have that baby. Lord willing, we're getting on a flight on August 4th. So you can be praying for us. That's a long flight. And as a pregnant lady, I don't know how that's going to all work out. But we're getting on that flight, God willing. And we're going back to continue preaching the love of Jesus Christ. And we need your prayers. We need us united together. We're one body united by Jesus Christ. Is anybody in here thankful for the blood of Christ? You can just say yes. We can say amen to God. I want to encourage you, God's power, it's available to you through prayer. It is available. You can align yourself with God's power through prayer every single day. God's love is available to you, and the best way to experience it is to show it. If you want to know it, you have to show it. So you could ask God today, just ask Him, God, who do you want me to love on this week? What if you just ask that question right now? God, who do you want to love on through me this week? There's one person that you haven't returned their phone call. Or maybe you need to shoot them an email. Or maybe it's just your next door neighbor. You keep seeing them. You say hi. You talk about sports. But you never shared about Jesus Christ. Never invited them to church. We have church in a gymnasium. This place is going off. Come on, you got to invite your neighbors. We just see, God, who do you want to love on through me? And a sound mind, remember the two ways. You can meditate on God's word, and for the rest of your life, you can know that you are okay talking to yourself. Jesus did it. You can do it. I'm excited to see what God has in store for you. I was just thinking, what is God going to do through each of you? Each of you have a story. Each of us have a story. It's not just the people who go out on the mission field. Everyone has a story about what Jesus is doing in their life. It wouldn't be possible for us to go out if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you. I'm going to pray for us, and we'll look forward to seeing what God has in store for each of you. So Father, I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you that we don't even have to rush through prayer or rush into prayer, but we can always rush into your presence. And God, I thank you that you are moving. You are doing things. You are alive and well. God, I thank you for miracles that make no sense. Healing glaucoma, saving Private Ryan, bringing people to church who seem like they would never have anything to do with it. God, thank you for what you've done in my life and what you've done in Alicia's life and bringing us together and allowing us to serve you and be back here in this family of believers at the Anchor. God, I thank you for Pastor Rick and his ministry. God, I pray you will bless him. I pray you will bless this whole church and help him walk out. Help us all walk it out. Walk out your will. Walk out your power, your love, and give us a sound mind. We want your mind. Father, I thank you. Thank you that we get to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I look forward to what you have in store for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.